This is Ted and PK, and thanks for listening to Faith Radio Mornings.
You can hear us live weekdays, and you can check out highlights of our show at any time on myfaithradio.com.
Are you a people pleaser or a God pleaser? That's the question.
Well, and I think so many times we live our lives in that place of being people pleasers, and especially because we think as Christians, we're supposed to be all things to all people, but then we're supposed to make sure everybody's happy and content, and it's, you know, nobody is uncomfortable. And we go on and on down this list of good and bad motivations for that. Leslie, thank you for joining us this morning. I think this is an excellent topic, and it's a great one maybe to look at the first of the year here, too. Good morning.
Hi, PK. Hi, Ted. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. You know, just recently I was at church, and my pastor asked me if I'd be interested in participating in a drama, in a skit that he wants to use in an upcoming service. I've done this in the past, but I just have so much on my plate right now. I'm helping out with daughter's sports and things like that, and remodeling a bathroom to boot, so I had to say no, but it was hard for me to get there at that point because I didn't want to let him down. How often do we find ourselves in this place, and did I make the right choice?
We find ourselves in this place all the time because I think sometimes we think pleasing God means saying yes all the time, that every opportunity that comes up, we ought to say yes because that, you know, is God's open door for us and he's wanting to use us in that way, or we're supposed to help this person, or we're supposed to do this or do that. And so sometimes it's a lot of pressure because we feel like, you know, not only are we trying to please people, but we also think that that's pleasing God. And so we get confused, I think, for many people.
Mm-hmm. So I'm okay, you think? Maybe made the right choice.
You want exoneration, huh?
Yeah, no. Help me. Validate my choice. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think he was fine with it, by the way, and he understood completely, and I believe him, because he knows what it's like to be pulled in every direction, you know, as a pastor, certainly. So it can be a tough thing, though, I think, for a lot of people, and I'm glad we're discussing it today.
Yeah, you know, I've been in that place where, you know, I'm trying to make everybody happy, or I'm saying yes when I even know I should say no, but I don't want to disappoint someone. And I think that is such a pressure for people. And it's a pressure for all people, but I think especially Christians, because sometimes I think we sort of think being nice is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And so if we say no, it feels like we're being mean and we're being unkind. And I don't think that we are. I think it just feels that way. And so I think we have to really get our heads straight around it before mm-hmm. we can actually change our behaviors.
And I think it's liberating, too, to come to that place to realize that you have a choice, you know, either yes or no, and to know that you can go with either one of those instead of, oh, I have to do it all.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, to really recognize, it's sort of one of the things that I help people when I'm counseling them and who are people pleasers, to help them understand this a little bit, is to really understand that you have limited resources, and money is a good metaphor for this, because most people would not give another person unlimited access to their ATM card. They wouldn't just say, well, here's my ATM card, do what you want. If you need money, just take it. Nobody would do that because they know that they have limited resources of money, and so they know that if they did that, if they said yes to everyone who wanted money from them, you know, every organization that asks for a donation, every person on the street who's begging for money, if they said yes to all of that, they wouldn't have enough money to pay their bills. And so they recognize that they have to be a good steward of their money. But the other resources that we have of our time and our energy, we aren't as careful about. We're not as good stewards of. And so sometimes we say yes to our time or our energy, and then we use it all up for everybody else who's asking for that. And we don't have enough for our own needs or the things that God really is calling us to do. And so that's a way that people can kind of get their minds around it, that we have to be good stewards of our energy and time resources as well.
And it can get complicated too, right, Leslie, with maybe somebody that is a bit of a manipulator, asks us to do something or wants to engage us in some way, and we have to say no, but then when their manipulation kicks in, that can trigger us to say yes. How do we deal with those people?
Well, you know, I wrote a blog about that about last year, about, you know, 9 tactics of manipulators and how to avoid them. And I think you're absolutely right. And I just got an email from someone yesterday, one of my coaching clients, and it was so funny because she had emailed her pastor saying that she wasn't going to be able to go to the church anymore, that she and her husband had decided to go to a different church, that he, you know, felt led to go to a different church. And the response of the pastor was very manipulative, like, you know, I believe God wants you here, and you don't have to go where your husband wants you to go, that you're being used here as the worship leader. And she goes, am I being right, or am I being given a guilt trip?
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor herself was giving her a guilt trip, not because she meant to, but just because she felt like, oh my gosh, I really need this person in my church, and she didn't want to lose her. And so, yes, we can be guilted into saying yes when we really know we should say no.
And I think there's a little added dimension to that, too, because sometimes somebody will say, God is using you here, or I think God wants you to, or God told me this about you. Mm-hmm. Those are very dangerous moments, I think.
I think it's really true. And so in those moments when so there's two issues. One is, you know, are we know we're supposed to say no, but we're feeling pressured to say yes, or we just even don't know that we're supposed to say no, or even can't realize that we're allowed to say no. Mm-hmm. But you're right. In those instances when we sort of know we should say no, but we're feeling guilted into saying yes, I think we need to first recognize that someone's trying to manipulate us. And the second thing that we need to address is our fear of, you know, if I say no, I'm afraid they're going to be not like me. I'm afraid they're going to be disappointed in me. I'm afraid that, you know, God's going to be mad at me. Whatever we're afraid of, we've got to kind of look at and address so that we can feel the freedom to say no when we need to.
Leslie, what would you say to someone that might feel this pressure in their marriage?
To say yes when they want to say no?
Yeah, right. If they're feeling like they want to, exactly that. I guess they're going against what their convictions are because of wanting to please their spouse all the time.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the most misunderstood whole areas of marriage, I've actually written a lot about it in this new book I'm writing, is this headship and submission thing. And, you know, so especially for women, but I think a lot of men are pleasers too, that they're afraid to speak up and say no. But one of the beauties of a healthy relationship is the freedom to say no, and to know that you can say no without being punished, you know, that you're not going to be retaliated against. Because I think that, you know, we all are different, whether it's even right or wrong, and we don't have convictions, we just don't like it. We don't want it. And to be able to say, no, I don't want to do that, or no, I don't like that, or no, that's not for me, I think that's part of being able to be yourself in a relationship. And when you have a relationship such as marriage, it's so intimate, and that you're living with this person for all of your life, if you can't be yourself, that's a ton of stress and a ton of pressure for you to always have to please another person instead of being able to be yourself. That doesn't mean you don't try to please someone sometimes and that you don't want to please your spouse, but when you're doing it at the expense of yourself constantly, that's a lose-lose.
We're talking with Leslie Vernick this morning about being a people pleaser or a God pleaser. And I think that this ties into every area of our life, Leslie, too, whether it's parenting and finding it hard to say no to your kids, or if it's in ministry, like we've been talking about, where it's hard. It's really hard there because it can all be good stuff and it's all ministry stuff. But is it the best for your time, you know? And I think we get kind of caught up in that. And plus the workplace, too. You know, you're asked to help and you want to help, and then you do more help, and you're pretty soon you're outside your job description and you're wondering why you're working 60 hours a week. So it's hard to kind of pull back a little bit, isn't it?
You know, a really good example of this that I find very freeing is Jesus, because, you know, here he was, but, you know, he was a perfect person, you know, in God in the flesh, and he gave us an example to follow. And in Mark chapter 1, when Jesus was resting at Peter's house, he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then it says in that chapter that the whole town gathered at the door because they heard that Jesus was in town and they knew he healed people. And so here's Jesus trying to relax and trying to rest, and he's got all these people who want healing. And it was, he did heal people that night, but it says in the passage, you know, early the next morning he got up. So we know at some point in time at the night he said, I'm done, I'm going to bed, guys. And so he stopped, he went to bed, he got up, he went to a quiet place to pray, and then Peter comes and looks for him, and he says, Jesus, where are you, where are you? Everybody's still waiting. So those who didn't get healed the night before were still waiting to be healed. And Jesus said, no. He said, I'm not going back. I'm going to Jerusalem, for that's why I've come, to preach. And so here's Jesus recognizing his limitations. I can't be in two places at one time. I can't do two things at the same time. I can preach or heal. Which is it that I'm supposed to do, God? Because I can't do both. And the people who he left unhealed, I'm sure, were disappointed. But I think that that's understanding and recognizing that God isn't asking us to do everything. He's asking us to do something. And we have to discern in our times of rest and quiet and prayer, you know, God, what is it that you're asking me to do? Because even though people might be disappointed, you're not disappointed. You're calling me to do one thing, not 50 things.
Yeah. That's a fantastic example of good versus best. And again, we're talking with Leslie Vernick this morning about being a people pleaser or a God pleaser. And if you're finding it hard to say no, or just in that place where you're not sure if you're who you're working for, and if you're trying to please people too much of the time, if you'd like to talk about that and just ask a quick question this morning, give us a call. It's 877-933-2484. It's 877-93-FAITH. And we'll be back with more with Leslie Vernick in just a minute.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Please, please me, oh yeah, like I please you.
Little Beatles, please, please me. We're talking with Leslie Furnick this morning on Faith Radio Mornings about being a people pleaser or a God pleaser. Leslie, I think it's that very first no sometimes with somebody who can always talk us into doing anything seems to be maybe the hardest. Do you think it gets easier after that first time that you actually say, yeah, I'm not going to do it, just no?
There's a freedom that comes to realize that when you say no, most of the time the other person kind of accepts it, like your pastor did, Ted, and you don't die and they don't die and everything kind of turns to normal again and it's okay. And I think there's a freedom in realizing that, okay, I can say no and nothing horrible happens. You know, my friend doesn't tell me they're not going to ever talk to me again, and God doesn't strike me down with lightning and life goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it actually can be a step toward more wholeness and health in Christ, right?
Absolutely. I loved when you said at the end of the break, PK, you know, that was a great example in Mark between the good and the best, because I think that is the dilemma that we struggle with as Christians. And I love what Paul prays for people in Philippians 1, where he says this at the middle of the chapter. He goes, I pray that your love would overflow more and more and that you would keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, for I want you to understand what really matters. And in the NIV it says, I want you to understand how to discern what is best. And I think sometimes the good does become the enemy of the best, and we're so caught up in doing good things that we miss the best that God has for us. And God isn't asking us to do everything, and he's asking us to do some things, and it takes that time alone with him to discern what is he asking us to do.
Well, and I think it's probably true as well, I'll see if you agree, Leslie, that God presents us with multiple opportunities sometimes to be involved in things in ministry, and he might just kind of sort of in a sense be saying, pick one. You know, Jesus said that he's been called that we might have life to the full, abundant life, and the John 10:10 verse there, of course, he might come that we may have abundant life. Is that a possibility, do you think, that God just has multiple opportunities for us and he's going to bless whichever way we go?
Yeah, I mean, I think he has work to do, and he's not asking us to do it all. He's asking us to be a part of his team to do the work, and, you know, we can do that. But I think the other important piece is when our doing, you know, sometimes I'm doing too much, and I can tell because I'm getting cranky, my character is suffering because I'm getting, discouraged or short-tempered, or I'm not spending enough time with the Lord. And when that happens, I think that my doing is compromising my being. And to me, that's telling me I'm doing too much and I need to say no.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what I was going to ask you about, kind of tying into that. There's another element maybe of this where we have to do even no to ourselves to, mm-hmm. you know, I'll use the example for me personally. It's the busyness of the day-to-day or the things even around the house that have to get done, blah, 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 the list, you know, that goes on forever. Choosing that sometimes as being the urgent, and it crowds out my time where I have devotions and the things that are really so important. And that's when I get cranky, like you're talking about. So is that whole thing about saying no even to ourselves sometimes?
Absolutely, you know. And one of the things I find in this culture more than other cultures is that we, as Americans, we worship and bow down to productivity and efficiency. Mm-hmm. And so we feel like the more we get done and the faster we can do it, maybe with the more spiritual we are, the more God is happy with us. But actually, God doesn't have those values at all. I mean, nowhere in the Scripture does he say, the more you get done and the faster you do it, the happier I am with you. And so, you know, I think it is true that there are times when we have to say no to ourselves, that our list is our taskmaster, and it's our God, and it's driving us, and it's driving us crazy because we can never satisfy it because it never gets done. As soon as we finish one list, we've got 50 others.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like taking the whole example of taking a teaspoon of water out of the ocean, then it just rushes right back in, mm-hmm. and there's another 20 right in its place.
Leslie Furnick, our guest here today on Faith Radio Mornings. She is a counselor and also author. One of your latest books is The Emotionally Destructive Relationship, and you mentioned you're working on another one as well, Leslie. And is some of what we're talking about in the new book, you alluded to that earlier.
Yeah, the whole thing about, you know, your spouse and saying no to your spouse, I've written a new book called The Emotionally Destructive Marriage, How to Find Your Voice and Reclaim Your Hope. And, you know, a lot of women who are in destructive marriages have been taught to just try harder and put up with it and just keep making your husband happy, even if he's abusing you and hurting you. And so I talk about how to say no there and how to say this is not of God. And that's going to be a fresh air for a lot of women, because I think so many women have been taught to just, you know, put up with it because they're married. And I don't think that's what God asked them to do.
So the title of the new one is The Emotionally Destructive Marriage.
Yes.
Okay, and we'll have links up for the one that's out right now, The Emotionally Destructive Relationship. That'll be at faithradionet.com under Faith Radio Mornings if you need to get your hands on that. It's a good read and some great help in there for people that are feeling trapped in relationships and are in danger, really.
Yes, and I think so many people are in danger, whether physical danger or just, you know, emotional danger. I was just talking to somebody the other day who was in an emotionally destructive work relationship. Their boss was a real bully. And it was amazing to me. It was a man, and he was just telling me how much he was affected by it. You know, physically, he was upset, and, you know, nauseous every time he'd go into work. His heart, his blood pressure was going up. He was, you know, eating the wrong foods because he was so upset, and drinking at night, and all those kind of things. And it's just amazing. He didn't have to live with this boss, but just having to work with him every day really took its toll on his mental and spiritual health and physical health. And so imagine living with someone day after day after day where you're just feeling that kind of tension. It's so stressful on your body.
And you were in your blog, too. You're telling the story about Cindy. And I think that a lot of people could relate to Cindy's story. And are you able to kind of articulate that for our listeners, too? Because I think they might see themselves in that people-pleasing part of what Cindy's doing, too.
Yeah, you know, Cindy was a really good person. I think sometimes, you know, when you're a kind, wonderful, loving person, and people can take advantage of that if you don't know how to say no. And so that doesn't mean you change into some mean, harsh, cruel person. It means that you have to learn to say no, or takers. If you're a giver, which is a wonderful quality, God calls us to be givers. But if you're a giver, people who are takers will find you, and they will suck you dry if you don't know how to say no. And so Cindy was a giver, and because she was a giver, people found her, people at work. Oh, Cindy, can you help me do this? I can't finish my work today. Can you take this for me? You know, I'm behind in this project. Can you do this for me? And so her workload was getting, you know, really high. You know, her kids were taking advantage of her, people around her neighborhood. She was babysitting for all the neighborhood kids. But when she would ask her neighbors, hey, I have a doctor's appointment. Can you watch my kid? You know, they didn't want to be bothered. And so the relationships began to get very, very unbalanced. And so Cindy's coming, you know, to counseling because she's stressed out and she's exhausted and she's getting depressed. And part of her problem is that she was too nice.
Hmm. Yeah, and I think we can all identify with that, you know, at some point or another in our lives too. And I remember going way back, somebody was talking about this in, we had a speaker come into church and they were talking about if you're unable to say no, just to say, well, let me think about it and get back to you. And it kind of gives you a little cushion to, first of all, either, you know, come up with your rehearsed line of why you can't do it and give you a little time to put that together. But it just gives you a cushion. Have you found that that works too, Leslie?
Yes. And the other thing that for people to realize is that you don't have to give a reason, because a lot of people think that their reason isn't good enough. Like if I just say no and I don't say no, I can't do it because I have a doctor's appointment, that's a good reason.
Right.
Right.
If I just say, no, I'm too tired, that doesn't sound like a good enough reason. Right? And so it's better just not to give a reason. So what I say to people is to say, you know, let me give it some thought if you can't say no right away. And then just say, no, that's not going to work out for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of times. Go ahead.
Yeah, you don't have to give a reason, because oftentimes the other person will argue with your reason, and then your no breaks down. And so just to be able to just say no is better.
That's what I was going to say, because I had a friend who would do that, and I'd say, well, because of this. And they would solve all my problems magically so that I could actually do that one thing for them.
They wanted, Good. Well, it's a good topic, Leslie. Thanks so much for talking with us about it today. And we look forward to the release of your new book. When is that due out?
It'll be out in September.
September, good.
Good
well,
for
we'll
you.
Be talking about that in the fall then with you as well. And we'll check in again in a couple of weeks. Thanks again.